It's a reading from Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse number 35. Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse number 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." God's heart longs to be reunited with the lost. God wants to be back with those who, for whatever reason, have left the company of God. God wants to be back with the lost. The heart of God is what I hope we have all experienced, being ones that were once lost, and now we live exuberantly in relationship with God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And so now that we were once lost and now we're fine, we were once blind and now we see, we were out there, but now we are saved. We witness with our own eyes the loving reunion we have with God. It moves us to then see that there are others out there that have the same longing to be reunited with God, those who are longing to be found. And that's what drives what we are doing in this sermon series, Each One, Reach One. Over the next year, I want to challenge each and every one of us in here to reach one person for Jesus, just one, a coworker, a schoolmate, a family member, a neighbor, a stranger, someone who is a Christian that for whatever way they've wandered away from the flock. Just reach one person for Jesus over the next year. And may we, with each one found, enact a celebration of joy, because there is joy when the lost are being found. Last week I shared some history regarding Churches of Christ and our history and this once eagerness and excitement we had when it came to evangelism and reaching the lost. I share with you my church growing up, we had yearly gospel meetings that ran for a week, and we went out into the neighborhoods and we shared with everyone we came into contact. We hung up flyers at the grocery stores and on telephone poles and everything. We wanted people to come and hear and experience the gospel of Jesus. Other churches did other things. Christy reminded me, the church that she grew up in Flint, Michigan, they had joy buses. How many people know what joy buses were? Started in the south in Tennessee. Here's a picture at the White Ferries Road Church of Christ in Memphis, Tennessee. Don't know where they got the pink buses, but that's another story. But I know in Flint, Michigan, they had 5 school buses, yellow school buses. Her mother was one of the school bus drivers, and they would just drive in the neighborhood and make an announcement that who wants to go to church, and kids, hundreds of kids would load up on these buses. It tells you about the time that we used to live in, that you can just, you know, You know, don't go with a white van, but go with a school bus, and people will load up the bus, and they would bring hundreds of kids to church, and they would sing songs on the bus. I got the joy, 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 joy. They would sing these songs on the way to church. Then they would get to church. They would go to Sunday school. They would have church, and then during church, like we do here, they would have a children's church for the kids, and they would go to children's church and sing songs and learn about Jesus. And many of those kids became Christians. And some 40, 50 years later, some of those same kids are still going to church. They became Christians. It's evangelism. And we were excited about it. And here's an intersection of the joy that we ought to have when it comes to reaching out to the lost. Church, how do we revisit that joy that once was a key marker in our fellowship? A deeper question is, do we feel a personal connection to that excitement and exuberance that comes with having the heart of God for the lost? The Gospels are full of stories and episodes in the life of Jesus where he explicitly announces the heart of God for the lost. And the text that I read earlier is one of those texts, one of those moments in the Gospels where Jesus is explaining the heart of God and the purpose of his ministry here on earth. So let's take another look at this text and take some cues from Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. Here is a feature in the ministry of Jesus that might be underplayed. We know that Jesus was born to a virgin named Mary, and his earthly father was a guy by the name of Joseph, who we're told he was a carpenter. And as a carpenter's son, we know that Jesus probably learned the trade of carpentry. That means he knew how to build things and possibly knew how to build buildings. The gospel record is not one that says that Jesus used his carpentry skills to go out and construct a church building. And constructing the church building, he would then invite people to come to the church building, where he would stand up in front of that church building, in the auditorium of that one-room church building, and he would speak and preach these wonderful sermons and just invite all the masses to come to this church building to do church. Now, that's fine, and it would have been wonderful if he did that, but he didn't do that. Do you know, instead of building a church, he went out and grew a church. He went out. I love, and I am, thankful to God that we have a church building that we can come into every week and sing and worship and do our church thing and go down the hall and eat fellowship meals. I love it. I love the fact that we have this asset that is a blessing to us, and we use it to bless others. People can use this building, and I'm glad we can do that. I'm so grateful. But the majority of our time is not spent in this building. We have been called to go out, to get out and go to where the people are. And that's what Jesus did. That's the story that we read about Jesus in the Gospels, not building a building and telling people to come to a building, but going to where the people are. I realize that technological advances and vehicles have made it easier for us to transmit the message of Jesus, but still, we have to get out. There is a bigger need outside of these walls, and unless we get outside of these walls, we won't meet those needs. Verse number 36 of Matthew 9 says, when he saw, speaking of Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. We keep coming back to this metaphor of sheep and shepherd. Now, this might be or appear to be, in terms of a narrative and its literary form, a literary move in a gospel that seems insignificant. So what? Jesus saw some crowds. He was popular. People followed him. When word about him spread, people came from all over to see him. What is connected to what Jesus saw is what sticks out to me, though. Jesus saw, and he had compassion. By compassion, he felt the hurt. He felt the disruptions in their lives. He felt the emptiness that they felt, noting that they were both harassed and helpless. Church, if we want to reach people, we need to be willing to feel what people feel. Some of us need to get out of our comfort and experience discomfort. We need to get out of the warmth of our plush situations and see the cold people feel because they don't have homes or families or access to a decent life. We need to see the single mothers doing their best, absent of fathers, but often feeling harassed by their circumstances. We need to see young men who might be making bad choices as young men with value, who don't feel like they measure up. We need to see that man or woman who don't feel like they measure up or feel like they're not enough as God's created beings and have compassion enough to reach out and to speak into their lives. We need to see the addicted as not ones who are just seeking the thrill of being high, but those who are seeking an escape from the realities of life. We can't reach those that we are unwilling to see. Jesus went out into the villages, into the synagogues. He saw the people and he had compassion. I know it's easy for us to see the depraved actions of some and to denounce them as trash or throwaways, but what if we saw those who were like sheep without a shepherd? What if we saw them as helpless and harassed, wounded and exhausted? What if we had compassion? Matthew 9, 37 and 38, then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus got out with the people, and he looked at the conditions of the people and concluded that people need something. The biggest need that people have, people. People need people. Using the language of an agricultural community, Jesus pleads with his followers to ask the one overseeing the harvest to send more people into the fields. Harvest is an event that induces excitement, joy, and the satisfaction of hard work. Joy and harvest are connected at the hip. In the ancient religions, harvest was marked with exuberant celebrations and festivals. For the Jews, there were several festivals, but the highlighted festivals were the festival of the Passover. Yes, the Passover observed the escape from Egypt by Israel when God rescued Israel out in the Passover. You can read about that story in Exodus, but it was also marked by the start of the barley harvest. Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, was a celebration of the wheat harvest. The Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, marked the gathering of all crops at the end of the agricultural year. Why so many celebrations? Because ancient communities associated the production of crops as an event that was the result of God's work and activity. Likewise, the harvest of people being brought into the fold of God is ripe with reasons for celebration and joy. The first crop of people in the church was on the day of Pentecost. Remember? 3,000 people baptized into Jesus. There was celebration there. God has connected harvest with joy and harvest with people. It's something that brings about celebration. And still, God is looking for men and women to participate in this harvesting event, just as people are needed to cultivate the soil and plant the seed and weed the gardens and feed the gardens and eventually reap the harvest of vegetable and herbs and fruit. People are needed to plant gospel seeds in communities and eventually pick that which has been grown. This is a huge undertaking. Jesus sees how huge it is, how big it is. So in short, here Jesus, when he says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I love how the Message translation translate that passage in Matthew 9. It says, what a huge harvest, he said to the disciples. How few workers on your knees and pray for harvest hands. How few workers. Why does the heart of Jesus fret about limited workers in the harvest field? I wonder if the church has been complicit in feeling that concern. See, when we leave sharing the gospel to the preachers, to the ministers, to the evangelists, we somehow communicate that that's only something they can do. Yet the call is for all of us to do. Each one, reach one. I wonder if we have made the sharing of the gospel an activity that is perceived to be too challenging, too difficult, so it's reserved for the experts. Thus we limit those who might share that gospel. Church, the harvest is huge, and the labor force is small. So Jesus says, pray for laborers. Let me go a step further. I think we ought to pray that we are those laborers. Church, this is where the heartbeat, genius, and the hilarity of God meet. God knows that there is a huge population of people that need God, that need saving, and that need rescue from the pain and horrors of life on this earth. The heart, God wants his people saved. The genius is that God deploys missionaries, emissaries on his behalf to reach these people. The hilarity is that he's chosen to use us. Imperfect people, imbeciles, people who stumble over their words, people who mess things up. Yes, the hilarity is that God wants us to be his emissaries. Interestingly, Jesus doesn't just talk about the need for laborers, he acts on it. If you read the text that follows what we read in Matthew 9, we read about the naming of the apostles, and there we get the names of James and John and Thaddeus and Bartholomew and Simon, Judas, you know the 12. But then listen to what is written about this interaction after the naming of the apostles, verse 5 of chapter 10 in Matthew. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment. Now give without payment. Both Mark and Luke share a similar passage as these gospels harmonize in this text. And they add this to this description. Verse number 6 of Luke chapter 9 says, they departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and curing diseases everywhere. Church, if ever there was a reminder that God has called each and every one of us to go out and each one reach one, this is the text. This is the mandate. Right out of the mouth of Jesus, this is the way. Everyone who can hear me If you have been found by God, you have also been enlisted by God to find someone else. We used to sing a song in the church I grew up in called "Lord, Send Me." It's a mashup of Isaiah chapter 6 when Isaiah was called. Isaiah had this interaction with God Almighty. He saw his sinfulness and his brokenness, and God made this call for someone to go out and share his message of hope and restoration. And Isaiah bravely says, here I am, Lord, send me. And so we sang this song that's a mashup of Isaiah 6, and also I believe this text here regarding the harvest. The lyrics are, there is much to do, there's work on every hand. Hark, the cry of help comes ringing through the land. Jesus calls for reapers, harvesters. I must active be. What will thou, O Master? Here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Ready at thou bidding, Lord, send me. Jesus wants us to get on our knees and pray that God sends laborers into the harvest. But that ought to be a selfish prayer, where we're praying to God to be that harvester, to be that laborer that goes out into the field. My mother is the most obvious answer. But there was also Ed Cornelius, James Lawrence, Benny Wilkerson, who baptized me on a Wednesday night in a warm baptismal. I'll never forget what I was wearing, gray pants and an orange t-shirt. I never forget the song we sang on that Wednesday night. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? If you were to ask me who were the one or the ones that God sent into your life, it's my mother. It's Benny. It's James. It's Ed. Some of you have similar stories, don't you? If I ask you, who are the ones that God sent in your life? You could just rattle off names. For many of us, it was our parents. And so we just, it was mom. Some of y'all might mention, it was a coworker. It was a dude that, it was this person at church. Like, I've been coming to church for years, but it was the way that God spoke through that one person that we went to church with. That was the one. You all have those stories. Those of you who are Christians, those of you who are believers. Is it so much to ask that over the next year, that we create stories for other people? So next year at this time, someone is talking about being found. And what they're going to say is, if I said, who's that one? They're going to say, it's Heather Cox. It's Lewis Stern. It's Bill Raper. It's Vicki Edwards. It's Wesley. Oh, it's Shanice. We want to create stories of being lost and being found. May God position us to be the one. When we pray for laborers in the harvest, don't be shocked when God says, okay, now I'm sending you. Might we all have the heart to respond. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Over the next year, might we pray to the Lord of the harvest, send laborers into the field, reaping a rich harvest. May we get outside these walls, outside our homes, go to where the people are. May we see people and the condition that they're in. And don't just write them off. They're just untouchable, unreachable. There's nothing we can do. Just might we see them as helpless and harassed. May we be so full of the compassion of God that we might find ways to walk alongside God in his work, finding those that are lost. May we see that people need people because people need the Lord. People need the Lord. When I see the depraved actions of folks in our community, that's typically my refrain. People need the Lord. And if people need the Lord, people need people to tell them about the Lord. As we sing this song of encouragement, invitation, may we be filled with a renewed sense of agitation to reach just one. Each one, reach one. If during this song you are prompted to respond in any way, you need us to pray for you, walk alongside you, maybe you're trying to reach one, you just need some help doing that. Share it with somebody. Let's talk about it. Let's work on it. If something's going on in your life that you need us to intervene to God with on your behalf, you're welcome to come as well. Let's stand and sing.